Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Kevin Ingram, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Kevin, appreciate you for joining us. Big series this weekend on the road in Knoxville for the Vandy baseball team. And I always look at kind of mid-April being the line of demarcation. Okay, now things are really heating up. You have a good sample size of conference play. And so far, since the mid-April point, Vanderbilt's season has looked a lot better and a lot more optimistic than Tennessee's has. But this doesn't make this series any less important. So what do you think are kind of the keys for Vanderbilt as they go on the road this weekend, taking on a pretty talented Tennessee team?
Yeah, I think you look at the records and what these teams have done. And by the way, thanks a lot for having me. Really appreciate it. Vanderbilt's gone 13-2. Tennessee has gone 5-10 in SEC play. But I think you throw a lot of that out. Anything can happen in these rivalry series. You know Tennessee's going to be extra cranked up with Vanderbilt coming in, and there'll be big crowds, and they'll be loud and rowdy, so it'll be a fun atmosphere over in Knoxville. But yeah, I think for this Vanderbilt team, really a big key is the health of the pitching. We've seen each of the first two game starters miss a little time here in recent weeks. Carter Holton missed his start against Missouri 2 weeks ago, came back last Saturday, and was not very effective in the two-thirds of an inning that he pitched. He didn't make it through the first, and Tim Corbin pretty quickly went to the bullpen, and then those guys did a great job. And Hunter Owen, he was sat down last weekend, and not sure of his status for this week. Devin Futrella has been able to make all of his starts in that Sunday role, and he's been terrific. But, you know, I think the health of the starting pitching for Vanderbilt, I think that's where a lot of it starts for this series. But, gosh, the Commodore pitching has been so good, whether it's been the starters or the guys out of the bullpen. I mean, there are several arms out of that pen last weekend that really saved the day in that series against South Carolina. But I know the formula Vanderbilt hopes for is, and especially Scott Brown and Tim Corbett, is that, you know, those Friday and Saturday starters will be able to go deep into games and give you a good chance to, you know, not use as much of your bullpen for as long and have a good chance to win.
Well, it's always, Kevin, to have these great in-state sort of in-state rivalries, whether it's UT Vandy, you know, Lipscomb, Belmont, stuff like that. But has it become a big rivalry in regards to the SEC?
I think it has. I mean, there's some really good baseball rivalries around the Southeastern Conference. And for Vanderbilt, those rivals have kind of, you know, they've changed some over the years. Florida, to me, has been really one mainstay for Vanderbilt in terms of baseball rivalries. That one's been really good over the years between the Commodores and the Gators, and both have won big and won national championships and all those things. This Vanderbilt and Tennessee rivalry has taken on certainly a different feel over the last few seasons that Tony Vitale has been at Tennessee. He's done a terrific job there, got him to the College World Series 2 years ago, and gosh, they had one of the best teams in the country last year, and before bowing out in the Super Regional against Notre Dame. But Tennessee came into Nashville last year and played great and got the sweep, and that was really big. Vanderbilt won 2 out of 3 when they played over in Knoxville 2 seasons ago in 2021. But yeah, it definitely has taken on a different feel, and I think that's good for the state, good for college baseball. It's a lot of fun when these two teams get together, and they're old in-state rivals, and anytime they play in any sport, it's always a lot of fun. So yeah, I think it has become one of the best rivalries in the conference, and again, it's always a great rivalry in any sport, but the baseball part of it has definitely ramped up in the last few years.
And Kevin, one of the things I think you'll agree that makes it even more spicy, you know, just besides the fact that it's Vanderbilt, Tennessee, is, you know, they kind of go at it a little different, right? Tennessee's style is a little different than Vanderbilt's. We've heard about a little less about it from Tennessee's end this year, but there's no question that I think if they get it rolling this weekend, you're going to see some of that emotion that Tennessee kind of plays with. Vanderbilt's a little bit more even keeled, although, you know, Enrique Bradfield's a real spirited player. You know, he shows emotion out there. But you know what I'm saying, the contrasting styles, yeah, the rivalry, it's different. It's beyond just the fact that it's Vanderbilt and Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. And I think some of that is by design for Tennessee under Tony Vitello. I think they sort of like being different from what Vanderbilt does. You know, Vanderbilt's very buttoned up and I don't know, I don't want to say militaristic, but it's, you know, it has definitely that very buttoned up feel to it, the way Tim Corbin has gone about running his program over the years, and that served him well. He's been to Omaha 5 times and won 2 national championships and 2 runners up. But you know, Tennessee, it's a much looser, more, you know, freewheeling style, and you know, we saw it all last year when they had that. Gosh, I mean, they had such a great season last year, and just always very boisterous and loud, and the hats and, you know, fur coats and all that stuff. You know, when they hit home runs, you don't see a lot of that over in Vanderbilt's dugout. But that is not to say the Vanderbilt guys don't get fired up, because you're exactly right. Enrique Bradfield shows a lot of emotion, as do a lot of these guys. You get the plate stomp after home runs, and, you know, they get fired up for their teammates. But it is a different style, a different feel for these two programs, and that's not to say one is right and one is wrong. It's just different ways of going about it. There are a lot of ways to win games, and both these teams have been very successful, especially in the last few seasons.
It makes for great theater. There's no question about it. And so, Kevin, you mentioned something at the beginning that I think a casual fan, let's just say you're a Tennessee fan or a Vanderbilt fan, and it's around this time of the year that you start focusing in on the college baseball season. You look at Tennessee's record at 5-10, and you're saying, "Well, what's going on? What's wrong with them? They were undefeated, or what? You know, they were really the story of college baseball early, but this is their fourth straight series against a top five team. That's how good the SEC teams are. And as you know, Kevin, you don't play everybody, so they have got a very unbalanced, tough strength of schedule, and it's hurt them here in the last few weeks. But do not sleep on the talent of that team.
No doubt. I fully expect Tennessee to play really well in this series this weekend. But yeah, you look back at who all they played. They played at Arkansas last weekend. They were ranked number five. They played Florida at home a couple weekends back. They were ranked number two. They won one out of three in that series. Won one out of three at LSU back at the end of March and in early April. They played Texas A&M, which is a really good team. You know, they ranked number 12, and Tennessee swept them. They lost all three against Missouri in the opening series to SEC play. So it's been really uneven. But gosh, I mean, the weekend series have just been so difficult for Vanderbilt. It's sort of been the other way around. And no knock on Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Missouri, but or Georgia. Those were the first four series for Vanderbilt, and the Commodores in those games went 11-1. They swept the first three weekends and won two out of three against Georgia. And or two out of three against Missouri, I should say. And, you know, just got off to a great start. And, man, you start stacking those wins. And regardless of what's in the second half of your schedule, you're in really good shape. But Vanderbilt's, it feels like Vanderbilt's schedule sort of going the other way. It's ramping up as we get deeper into conference play. You had, you know, South Carolina come in last weekend. They were ranked number six. You got Tennessee this weekend on the road, which is going to be really tough. They've still got to play at Florida. Got to play at Alabama. You got Kentucky and Arkansas at home. Both those teams have been ranked in the top 10. So different looks to the schedule, but really difficult all the way around for both teams. When you get to the end of that 30-game grind, you definitely feel it, and you're going to play some good teams along the way.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that if you've been following it. We were just having a discussion about the NHL playoffs and how home ice advantage so far, and really the last few years, especially under the salary cap, it's maybe not as big as you would think. But in SEC baseball, if you take a look, there is a big home field advantage. I think. Look, when you go to Arkansas, you're lucky to survive out there. At LSU, in Gainesville, I mean, there are hostile atmospheres, big crowds. Vanderbilt obviously plays very well at home. Tennessee is 21-4 at home, 1-9 on the road. So if you think you're just going to roll into Knoxville,
yeah,
that atmosphere is going to be hostile.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and that ballpark over in Knoxville is really small. I mean, just the field itself, it feels like every fly ball has a chance to be a home run. Even calling games over there, it's almost like you have to adjust your way of thinking. Especially, I've watched so many games at Hawkins Field, and you kind of see the, you know, ball flight. You sort of know where it's going to land. In Tennessee, every fly ball feels like it has a chance to land in the bleachers or go over the fence. But, yeah, that crowd's going to be cranked up. I mean, you know they're going to just be ready to roll this weekend. But, gosh, you see a little bit of everything in some of these home ballparks. I mean, Arkansas, Vanderbilt had some wildlife to deal with in the stands when they were down there last year. I think there's like a squirrel or a possum.
Like actual wildlife. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, actual wildlife. Vanderbilt had a squirrel in the stands at Hawkins Field a couple weeks ago. That was interesting. It made its way off the foul screen and up the steps and down in front of the booth, and then I don't know where it went after that. But, yeah, you see a little bit of everything. We went to Florida a couple years ago. And, of course, Vanderbilt has Enrique Bradfield, who, if he gets on first base, there's a good chance he's going to be standing on third base pretty soon. And Florida put about a million gallons of water over by first base to try to slow him down. You know, they have the swamp where they play football. They have the swamp over by first base, too. But, yeah, you see a little bit of everything. I mean, Willie, you know, you play in this league. I mean, it's really entertaining, some of the stuff you see around the Southeastern Conference. They love their baseball like everything else.
I, as an LSU fan, I know and love the rally possum very, very well.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about wildlife. Last one for you, Kevin. Kevin Ingram is with us. We've been talking about the S2 cognition test and how a lot of NFL teams have utilized it to evaluate quarterbacks. But it's something that Tim Corbin in the Vanderbilt baseball program has used for the last several years. What do you know about the S2 cognition test? How has Tim Corbin been able to use it with the baseball team? And how reliable do you think it is in evaluating the potential of an athlete?
And does he have the announcers take the S2 test, Kevin, just to see if you have the cognitive skills to get the job done?
If I still have a job, then they probably haven't made me take the test.
But they are pretty high tech over there, aren't they? They've got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they really are. I don't know that I can. I don't know that I'm probably the right one to ask about that particular test. But they are very high tech in just the way they go about things, and they're very cutting edge. You know, for Tim Corbin being an old school sort of guy, he definitely has new school ways of thinking and going about baseball. Whether it's all the work they do in the pitching lab, where they use lots of video work, and you know, same thing with the hitters. It is. It's really advanced, and it's really interesting to talk to those guys and see how they go about it. You know, whether it's Tim Corbin or it's Scott Brown, the pitching coach, or Mike Baxter, who's an outstanding hitting coach. Tyler Shoemaker works with the catchers, and all those guys. You talk to them, and it's just fascinating to hear them talk about how they go about trying to teach these guys the game, and just trying to break down what all they're doing and try to figure out ways to make them better. But yeah, it's a high tech approach. With still a lot of old school sort of ways of teaching baseball. And I think it's interesting, too, just to watch teams take batting practice. And I was thinking about this last week when South Carolina was here. The way South Carolina does their BP and the way Vanderbilt does theirs are completely different. It's more of a professional type approach for South Carolina, where, you know, a few guys come in and hit, and you got a bunch of dudes hanging out in the outfield. Vanderbilt, there's never any wasted motion. You got, you know, corpses is hitting ground balls, and you got machines working, you know, throwing pop-ups, and, you know, guys practice bunting, and they bring the ball around and drop it in the basket. It's very interesting to watch different approaches for different teams. But it's like we were talking about with Vanderbilt and Tennessee earlier, different ways of winning games, and that's not to say there's one way that's right or wrong.
Kevin Ingram, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, appreciate you for joining us. As always, we'll chat soon.
Hey, anytime. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. You too. Coming up next, it's time for D-Mace to talk that talk.
You know it.
There's some interesting stuff happening in Brooklyn last night.
Caroline Willie D-Mace. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.